Bibles in the seat and go to Acts chapter number 10, the action book. Acts chapter number 10, and we'll pick up where we left off a couple of weeks ago and try and give you a few thoughts the Lord's put on our heart out of these verses of Scripture. Acts chapter number 10 this morning, and we'll try and pick up, down around verse number 19, Acts chapter 10, verse 19. Sure do appreciate the Lord this morning, and what he did for us in revival was absolutely amazing. Those of you that was able to make it out, or maybe you wasn't and got to watch it on live stream, man, we just really, really appreciate the Lord for meeting with us. And, you know, our plans get changed. I was planning on Brother Joe Arthur being here Monday and Tuesday, and then Preacher Goodman finishing it up Wednesday and Thursday. And, you know, that was my plan was always since last year was we was just going to go, Brother Joe was going to preach Monday and Tuesday and was going to let Brother Scott preach Wednesday, and wasn't even thinking about Thursday until in January. I was preaching for Preacher Goodman and kind of felt like the Holy Ghost kind of dealt my heart about asking Preacher Goodman to come preach Wednesday and Thursday night after Brother Joe. So he was agreeable to it, but little did I know Brother Joe's mother was going to end up sick, pass away. And then Preacher Goodman was going to just preach the whole thing. But the Lord already knew it. The Lord was already setting it up. And I look back now, and I thought to myself, Brother Charlie, I thought, which one of those four messages was dispensable? Which one of the four messages that he preached, had he only come and preached what I'd scheduled him for, which was just Wednesday and Thursday, which one of those four messages, two of them, would have been, we wouldn't have got to hear? And I thought to myself, I don't know that we could have done without any of them. They were all just right on target, right where we were. And so I thank the Lord that the Lord had things worked out, and Preacher Goodman came and preached all four of those messages to our heart. And then Brother Boffman on Sunday, is just, man, it was great. I appreciate you receiving the Word of God with gladness and with joy. And I hope you've tried to apply it to your life this week, all right? All right, Acts chapter 10, we looked a couple of weeks ago, started looking at the vision that they saw. And this morning we'll get into the visit that they made and then the victory that God gave. But this morning, finishing out the vision that they saw, Cornelius sees a vision, and that prompts him to send for Peter, who in turn God's dealing with on his end. And he's seen a vision too. We'll not go back into all that. We'll begin reading in verse number 19, Acts 10, 19. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, Behold, three men seek thee. Arise, therefore, and get thee down and go with them. We focused in on these two words to close out Sunday school 2 weeks ago, doubting nothing. And I found out in the Christian life that faith is one of the main components and main ingredients of the Christian life. If you don't believe the Bible said it won't work in you. It effectually worketh in them that believe. If you don't believe while you're praying, then the Bible said in James chapter 1, let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. If you don't ask in faith to receive in faith, the Lord puts a high price on faith. Matter of fact, you realize the Bible said without faith it's impossible to please God. You can please God without a lot of things. Things that I'm glad that you can please God without. You can please God without having a lot of money. It don't impress God. We'll read here in just a minute about God respecting no man's person. It don't impress God if you got a lot of stuff. How you going to impress a God that owns a cattle on a thousand hills? How you going to impress a God? The Bible said in Haggai 2:8, the silver's mine and the gold's mine. How you going to impress a God that lives in a city that has a street of gold? He paves where he lives at with what men kill each other for down here. You can't impress God with your wealth. You can't impress God with your intellect. He's omniscient. He knows everything. How you going to impress God with being smart? The Bible said he takes the wise in his own craftiness. You can't outthink God, outsmart God. Your PhDs and DDs and DAs or whatever. I got a PhD myself. Y'all didn't know that, did you? Amen. I got a PhD, post hole digger. Amen. But it just don't impress God. It doesn't impress him. I'll tell you what impresses God. Faith impresses God. You say, I don't know that we can impress God. That's not what my Bible said. I find there's only two things in the New Testament, just two, that the Bible said Jesus marveled at. The word marvel means to be amazed, impressed, astounded. And there's only two things in Jesus' earthly ministry that he marveled at. One is unbelief. The Bible said that Jesus marveled at their unbelief after he had done many mighty works among them and things like that. He marveled, it just shocked him that, how can you not believe me? You've heard my words. You've seen what I've done, and you can't believe me. And the other thing that amazes the Lord is great faith. The Bible said that fella come to the Lord with that sick servant, and he said, I'll go heal him. And that centurion said, no, don't come to my house. I'm not worthy if you'd even set foot under my roof. I'm a soldier, and I got men under authority, and I say go, and then one goes and come, and no one comes. He said, if you'll just speak the word, I don't even think you got to show up. If you'll just say it right here, I think he'll get healed way back over there. And the Lord said, I've not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And they marveled about it. And so, hear the text, doubting nothing. You want to impress God? Here's how you impress God. Believe what he says. Believe he can do anything. But don't just say it, live it. There's a difference in saying it and living it. Anyways, doubting nothing, for I've sent them. All right, let's keep moving here. Verse number 21. Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius and said, behold, I am he whom ye seek. What is the cause wherefore ye are come? And now they're about to just simply rehearse. We're going to cover several verses this morning because some of this is simply rehearsing what we've already read about earlier in Acts. Now they're going to tell Peter for the purpose of why they've been sent. Verse 22, and they said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man and one that feareth God, and of good report among all the nation of the Jews. We read that all the way back up in verses 1 and 2. And of good report among all the nation of the Jews was warned from God by an holy angel to send for thee into his house and to hear words of thee. Then called he them in and lodged them. So we've gone from now the vision that they saw to now we're going to see the visit that Peter made. Peter now is going to go with them on this journey to make a visit to Cornelius. And it says in verse 23, after he lodged them, that on the morrow Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. I would say the reason why Peter is taking brethren with him to go down there is in the Old Testament you'll find this, it's almost like a law, I guess you could say, that the Lord establishes, and then it even goes on into the church in Matthew chapter 16, and that's this. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. The Bible even talks about if you've got aught with a brother in the church, there in Matthew chapter 16, or Matthew chapter 18, excuse me. In Matthew 18, he said, if you got aught with your brother, go to him alone. Talk to him about it alone. Try and resolve the issue with just you and your sister or you and your brother alone. But the Bible said, if they neglect to hear you, then take a couple of witnesses with you. And if they neglect to hear you and the witnesses, then bring it before the church. And that way everything gets established. That way it can't just be, well, he said, she said. No, it's established by witnesses. And that's what Peter's doing here. He's going to take people with him. So everything is established. And we find out that actually comes to Peter's benefit. It's really good that he takes these men with him, because when we get to chapter number 11, Peter goes back and rehearses everything that happened to them Gentiles, to the church at Jerusalem. And he said, hey, these fellas that went with me, they can testify to it. They saw it and heard it too. So we're not in chapter 11 yet, but when we get there, we'll find him taking these witnesses was actually a blessing. Sometimes before you deal with a matter, you might want to consider having a witness there. I've been in enough meetings or talks with people before, and you have too, that after you've spoken with them, you go out and all of a sudden you start hearing their version and telling how the thing went, and it's like, that ain't at all what was said. Oh, whoa, where did you even get that from? That wasn't even said at all. I don't know what you're talking about. And so sometimes actually having a person with you or two people, you know, you're going to talk about something, sometimes it actually can help, because then every word's established. No, unbiased witness said X, Y, Z. Anyways, but he's going to take them with him down here, and they accompany him. Verse 24, he's on this visit. Verse 24, and the morrow after they entered into Caesarea. I really like old Cornelius. He's a lost man at this point, but I really like this guy. Watch what your Bible says about this. And Cornelius waited for them, and had called together his kinsmen, that's his family, and near friends. Here is a lost man that's got more of a burden for his friends and his family than a lot of saved people got for their friends and family. He don't even necessarily know what the whole message is going to be yet. He just knows I've been trying to follow this, you know, Judaistic way of living. And Brother Danny, I've been walking after this Judaistic way and trying to serve the God of Israel. I know this angel showed up to me. I know this angel said, I need to send for a guy named Peter down there in Joppa. He needs to come tell me something. God has something to tell me through this guy, the way of salvation. Now, I don't know exactly what it's going to be. I just know I need to hear this. So in the meantime, while they're going to get him, tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go get all my friends. Hey, y'all, the preacher is coming, and the preacher's going to tell us how to be saved. Y'all need to come to the house. He goes, gets his cousins and his aunts and his uncles and his brothers and his sisters. Say, let me tell y'all something. We all lost and going to hell. Y'all living like a bunch of wicked devils. Y'all need to come over to the house. The preacher's coming over, and he's going to tell us all how to get saved. Glory. I mean, what a blessing it is to have somebody with a burden that would just say, hey, y'all need to come to church with me. The preacher's going to be there Sunday morning, and he's going to tell us something from God. Right? Isn't that, I mean, we look at preaching like that, right? We don't look at preaching like, especially as long as Bible preaching, we don't look at preaching like, you know, the preacher is getting up there telling stories and telling us what he thinks or his opinion. No, you need to come to church because God's going to speak. Why? Because his word's being preached. The Bible said God has manifested his word through preaching. And man, he's got them all loaded up. He's got them there waiting on Peter to show up to preach, to tell them what God's got to say. That's why we came this morning, ain't it? I hope that's why you came. I mean, here we are. It said he called together his kinsmen, his near friends. Matter of fact, down here, skip all the way down to verse 33. He talks about it again. Look at verse 33. Cornelius tells Peter why he sent for him. And verse 33 says this, immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore are we all here present before God. He didn't look at it like he was just there in front of the preacher. No, we're coming to hear from God. We're present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. You know what might revolutionize our church experience? Is if we come in like we did Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and I'm sitting there and you're sitting there and we're sitting here, and the preacher gets up and starts preaching, if we would look past the preacher and say, God, I'm here before you and I'm listening for you to speak to me through that man. Because I believe that's how you do things according to the Bible. I believe you manifest your word. I believe you use preaching. So, Lord, I'm sitting here before you. I'm in your presence. But I'm not just listening to that man. I don't know about you. I listen to all kind of preaching. Loud preaching, soft preaching, teaching preaching, preaching, you know, devotional preaching, very doctrinal preaching. I just listen to all kind of preaching from all kind of different guys, and all of them biblically sound. I mean, I may not agree with everything, you know, dot my I's, cross my T's, everywhere they do, but they preach in the Bible. You know what I found out, Brother Bill Tyson? I found this out listening to some guys. Some guys, I really have to listen, like look past and listen past all their idiosyncrasies to hear God. Sometimes you can get hung up on the personality of a preacher and miss what God's got to say to you. I got a fellow that I listen to on the regular because I feel like he feeds my soul. And he's dead now. But when he was alive, he was an old-fashioned, I don't know where he was from, had to have been from the mountains, but he was an old-time mountain hacking preacher. How many of y'all know what a mountain hacking preacher is? Raise your hand. All right, went on. And he'd get to going, he'd say, hi, nah, ha, ha, and God said, and I want to tell you, glory. And I mean, like over and over, he's doing this. And I'll be honest, the first couple times I listened to him, I'm like, I ain't never going to get nothing out of this guy. This is distracting. this constant, fire that thing up. Fire it up. Let's get going. You know, all this. But I'll tell you what, I listened to one or two messages, Brother Ken, of that guy, and the more I've kept listening to him, that guy really has something to say. Now, I ain't a real big fan of the hacking, But I've kept listening to him long enough that I'm like, man, I've heard from God. He started preaching and throwing stuff out. But if you're not careful sometimes, you'll get hung up on the style of the preacher. Well, he ain't shouting, he ain't screaming, he ain't running around, he ain't doing nothing, I can't get nothing from him. That's not true. Well, he's too loud, and he's being real loud, and he's got weird mannerism. I mean, how many of y'all know Caleb Lindsay? Raise your hand if you know Caleb Lindsay. Y'all, that's a guy that's a real mental exercise to get something from his preaching sometimes, because he's different. But I've never heard Caleb Lindsay preach what I didn't walk away saying. Never seen that. The Holy Ghost gave me a little nugget. Never seen that one. But he's different. He's just as normal. Well, I mean, I would say, but I was going to say he's just as normal as anybody in here. Maybe not. He's plugged into another world. But I'll never forget one time I was preaching up in Indiana, kind of more polished church. How I wound up there, I have no idea. But I was preaching at this kind of more polished church in the lower part of Indiana. And Caleb came one night. This is 10 years ago. And I told the preacher, I said, this guy's a friend of mine. He's a blessing when he sings, too. They never used to anything but kind of highbrow type singing, you know. And they called Caleb up. And Caleb walked up. And he kind of stood there and kind of looked around. If y'all know Caleb, you know what I'm talking about. He kind of looked around. He's waiting for kind of the wind blow. And all of a sudden he strikes off singing. God blowed into place, Brother Chad. Holy Ghost sat down there. We had time. And people never seen anything like it. I had like three people come up to me afterwards. I hope Caleb don't watch this. I had like three people come up to me afterwards. And they said, hey, that fella that's a little bit, is he handicapped? So what are you talking about? Said he act real different. I said, it's just him. I know some people, they can't hardly get nothing out of my preaching because places I go, it's real country or it's real bold or it's real loud. What I'm saying is this. Get to the place where you look beyond the preacher and say, God, I'm sitting here before you and I'm going to listen for the word of God. Tom Gillum ain't like anybody else we have in this church to preach generally. It's real slow a lot of times. And if you're not careful, because he don't mount the pulpit and immediately, and just go to, he'll lose you in the first 5-10 minutes because, well, this is boring. But I've never heard Tom Gillum preach what he didn't give me something when I was done. What I'm saying is stop watching so much the personality. Cornelius said in verse 33, we're here present before God to hear all things commanded you from God. Start listening for the God that's going to speak through the preacher, hopefully and Lord willing. Anyways, all right, watch this. Here we go. The Bible said he called us together as kinsmen and near friends. Verse 25, and as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him. I mean, he meets him at the front door. He's glad he's there, but he's a little off on, he just doesn't understand. The Bible says, and fell down at his feet. He's falling down at Peter's feet and worshiped him. Now, we're living in a day, some guys might just be like, well, you know, just let him keep on going. No, 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 no. Watch verse 26. But Peter took him up saying, stand up. I myself also am a man. Now, let me just give you this real quick, and then we'll move to something a little devotional in this text. But they say that Peter is the first pope. And to this day, when a pope walks in and his loyal subjects are there, they all hit the knee, kiss the ring, bow the head. It's a form of worship. The Bible calls that obeisance worship. The form of word of worship in many texts, literally what it means is like when a dog, you know, crouches down and licks its master's hand. And so these people bow down and kiss the ring and the Holy Father and all this garbage. Listen to me. The first pope, he weren't no pope, but the first pope would not have dared let anyone bow before him and worship him. The one time in the Bible you find anybody even thinking about falling down on their knees and worshiping the first pope, Simon Peter, he jerks him up and says, you stand up. I'm nothing but a man just like you. Yeah. No, don't you get it. I'm telling you, man, we live in a day, man worship is a terrible thing. And that's what this right here is. Peter realizes who the one worthy of worship is. He's going to tell Cornelius about him. And he says, I'm just a man like you. I mean, you know, I'm God's man. I'm not your man. I'm God's man. I work for him. The Lord called me and asked me to do this. I didn't ask him to let me do this. He asked me to do this. So I'm God's man. But I'm here to point people to Jesus. There ain't one person in this church worthy of worship, and it ain't the deacon, and it ain't the preacher, and it ain't the Sunday school teacher, and it ain't the choir members. It's Jesus. He gets the worship. Matter of fact, I like how Peter said, I'm just a man. I got problems just like you got. Put my sandals on, you know, one at a time just like you do. I'm just a man. Watch what your Bible says about another great man in Scripture who said was just a man. Look at James chapter 5. This is a great passage. Watch James chapter 5. James in chapter number 5. And verse number 17, the Bible's talking about Elijah here. And Elijah praying effectually and fervently. Verse 17, James 5:17, Elijah, was a man subject, watch this, to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained on the earth, not on the earth, by the space of 3 years and 6 months, and he prayed again, and the earth, heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. In other words, he's telling us about this awesome guy. I mean, if you've read the Bible from where Elijah comes into focus, 1 Kings 17, all the way through till James, and you've read about him on the Mount of Transfiguration, you've read about him on the Mount of Carmel, calling down fire from heaven, this guy's awesome. But the Lord reminds us, he was a man subject to like passions just like we are. When he says like passions, I mean subject to the same aggravations, the same burdens. I mean, y'all, you do know, I would say yes, Elijah's subject to like passions as we are. You do know this is the guy in 1 Kings chapter 19 that right after he had that great victory on Mount Carmel, he walks off into the woods and says, I've had enough. That's what he said. He said, it is enough, O Lord. Take away my life. He gets suicidal. He gets fed up with life, fed up with people. You ever been there before? Elijah did too. And yet the Lord has fellowship with a guy like Elijah. Calls him down on the Mount of Transfiguration, fellowships with him. That gives me hope that the Lord will have fellowship with somebody like me. Elijah complaining and bellyaching and murmuring about everything's gone wrong in his life, and the Lord still wants something to do with the old boy. And Peter's the same way. So was Peter. Peter has like passions just like we do. So don't miss this. Old Cornelius, he don't know anything about Peter other than God told him to go get him. He's going to come preach to you the words of salvation. Old Cornelius sees Peter, but he don't know nothing about all the like passions. You know what Peter did, or what Cornelius didn't see? He didn't see Peter standing by a fire saying, blankety blank blank, I don't know that blankety blank man. He didn't see Peter getting rebuked by Jesus and saying, get thee behind me, Satan, thou savors not the things that be of God, the things that be of men. He didn't see Peter backslid, fishing naked out in a boat, and the Lord having to get him right. So you say, what are you saying by that? I say this. Don't let the failures of your past and what people who were there when you failed, don't let that stop you from changing what people think about you in the future. Jonah is a classic case of this. Jonah gets on that boat, rebellious, running from God, and them mariners end up finding out he's the reason why the storm is there, because he's a backslid preacher and he's running from God, and they throw him overboard. But you know the story, he gets swallowed by the whale, spit up, then he runs to Nineveh, preaches down there, over 100,000 people get saved. Glory. Now y'all listen to me. Imagine if you was to walk up to those mariners a few years later and say, hey, you know a guy named Jonah? They'd say, yeah, I met that sorry, good-for-nothing backslid preacher one time. He about got us all killed. I wouldn't walk across the street to hear him preach. I tell you, I wouldn't give you a dime for somebody like that. Man, he must be sorry. And then all of a sudden you walk into Nineveh and you walk up to this little family and you say, do you know a guy named Jonah? They'd say, oh yeah. We was going to hell without God, and God sent that preacher our way. And if it wasn't for him, we'd still be going to hell. God would have judged us. Thank God for Jonah. He's welcome at our house anytime. Thank God for Jonah. See, in your past somewhere, you can't go back and undo sometimes all the mistakes and damage and failures of your past. You can't always undo it. But I'll tell you what you can do. You can keep walking to your Nineveh and watch God change the narrative of your life. If you would have walked to the little maid, the Bible talked about there was a woman that kept the door, and she's the one that called Peter out at the fire while Jesus is being tried in that mock trial the night before his crucifixion. If you would have walked up to that little girl and said, hey, you ever met a guy named Simon Peter before, son of Bar-Jonah, claimed to follow Jesus, you ever met him? She'd say, yeah, he ain't no Christian. I heard him cuss. Heard him deny the Lord 3 times. I don't even believe a guy like that saved. A guy like that couldn't even be saved. Tell you what, that guy, he is sorry. Oh, but if you walk up to Cornelius after Acts chapter 10 and you knock on Cornelius' door and say, hey, y'all ever met a guy named Simon Peter, son of Bar-Jonah? They'd say, oh, yeah. Thank God for the day God sent him by our house. He showed us the way of salvation, and our whole family got changed because of him preaching to us. See, somewhere in your past, you might have had a failure and a misgiving, and you was wrong for it. I ain't glossing over it. You messed up. Messed up bad. But don't live right there. Failure is not final with the Father. Failure may be final with the brethren, and failure may be final with the sister, and failure may be final with your family, but I'm glad there's a God in heaven that he'll forgive it, he'll forget it, and he'll take you to somebody that don't know about all that failure and let you build a new testimony for God. You can go back and apologize. I'm not saying not to. But let's just be honest. I've prayed with some of y'all and such that, and we know each other's testimonies. There's some of y'all, your family back there, what they constantly hold and still remember is what you used to be. So what are you supposed to do? You just going to keep laying around in that and saying, well, that's what I am, and I messed up, and that's just all it. What do you just want to lay around? God don't want you laying around in that for the rest of your life. That might have been what you used to be, but that's not what you are anymore. So now walk this way and say, look, I can't do nothing about all that, but I can start making a difference in people from here forward. That's Peter. I mean, Cornelius, he worships him incorrectly. We understand that. And Peter tells him, I'm just a man. Just a man. You should have seen me over cussing at the fire. You'd know I'm just a man. You should have seen me over fishing naked. You'd know I'm just a man. But in Cornelius' eyes, he said, man, thank God for you. And I don't know who God's got in your path coming up, but you just make sure after you cross paths with some people coming up, they say, man, thank God for you. Thank God for you. Anyways, let's keep moving here. He said, took him up. Stand up. I myself also am a man. Verse 27. We'll run through several verses here because it's just kind of rehearsal of what already happened. Verse 27. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. Oh, that's the third time the Bible has told us that Cornelius has packed the house out. I mean, he's got them all there to hear from God. Verse 28. And he said unto them, you know how that it is an unlawful thing. That's a tongue twister right there. How that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. I mean, what a way to start the message out. This is actually unlawful for me to even be around you guys. And he's telling the truth. Even the Lord told him, don't even go in the way of the Gentiles. He said, keep company or come into one of another nation. But God hath showed me Now, God showed him this through this vision of these animals coming down on this sheet. God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Peter got the message. He's catching what the Lord was trying to show him. Verse 29. Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying as soon as I was sent for. That word gainsaying don't mean that he was trying to make gain of them or get something from them. The word gainsaying in your Bible means without contradicting or without resisting. In other words, he said, the reason why I came quickly without contradicting or without resisting these guys is because I know God told me to. And if you want cross references for the word gainsaying, the King James Bible interprets itself. Like if all of a sudden you came across that word gainsaying, and if you didn't have a dictionary or nothing, if you just did this, take your Blue Letter Bible app or something like that and look up that word in your Bible, you would find out that the Bible would interpret itself. So Luke 21:15 and Romans 10:21. Luke 21:15, you don't have to turn there, and Romans 10:21, as well as other places, interpret that this word means without contradicting, without resisting. And many times in your Bible, if you'll just look for the, if you come across the word and you don't understand it, a lot of times, not all the time, but a lot of times, if you'll just find the other places that word is mentioned in your King James Bible, other places will give you the answer of what the word actually means and clear it up for you. Anyways, he said, therefore came I unto you without gainsaying as soon as I was sent for. I ask therefore for what intent ye have sent for me. So I know what God has told me, that I shouldn't call you people common or unclean, but why exactly do you want me? What is it that you want? Verse 30. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour. And at the ninth hour I prayed in my house. And behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. If this scene was recreated in most Hollywood movies or TV shows today, it would have been a woman standing in front of him. Right? It would have said, a man stood before me. It would have been some woman with wings and a big halo standing in front of him. Or it would have been some little child or a baby or something like that. Can I just give you a Bible bubble burst and just burst your bubble on concept of angels? There is no such thing in the Bible as female angels. There is no such thing as baby angels. When you die, you don't turn into an angel. You know, she become an angel. No, she didn't. She went to heaven, but she ain't an angel. She's who she was. All right? There ain't no precedence for that. You say, we see female angel stuff all the time. Yeah, that come from Roman Catholic painters that just made stuff up. You read your Bible, and I hope you're already on your Bible reading plan for this year, to read your Bible through January to December at least once. I hope you're already on your plan. And if you are, just take note from Genesis to Revelation that every time an angel shows up, he always shows up as a man. There's no such thing as female angels. They're all men in the Bible. Just an interesting tidbit for you. I mean, you say, what good's that doing me? Well, it'll help you understand the Bible maybe a little better. But anyway, behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing, verse 31, and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He's lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner by the seaside. We've covered all of this ground earlier in Acts chapter 10. Who, when he cometh, shall speak unto thee. Immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. So we've not only seen the visions that they saw, the visit that Peter made, but now we're going to see the victory that God gave. Watch the victory that God gives, verse number 34. Then Peter opened his mouth. Business is about to pick up. Preaching's about to happen. Lives are about to get changed. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive, boy, this is a mouthful right here. I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. Red, yellow, black, white, rich, poor, Jew, Gentile. When it comes to salvation, when it comes to righteousness, when it comes to judgment, God is absolutely no respecter of person. God ain't going to let you into heaven different than he let somebody else into heaven. God's not going to let you buy with your sin and judge somebody else for it. When it comes to judgment, when it comes to God's standard for righteousness, when it comes to making it to heaven, God is absolutely no respecter of persons. None whatsoever. Matter of fact, look at this idea. Go to Romans chapter 2. Go to the right to Romans chapter 2. We'll look at this thought here for just a minute on God being no respecter of persons. Romans chapter 2, just to the right here. Romans 2, 9. Romans chapter 2, verse 9. Paul said, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. In other words, the tribulation, the anguish, if a man rejects God, back up to verse 8, that's what it's talking about. They don't obey the truth. They run after unrighteousness. Then it don't matter if you're Jew or Gentile, you're going to get tribulation and anguish. Verse 10, but glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. Verse 11, for there is no respect of persons with God. Now I realize in that Old Testament, God had respect unto his people, the Bible said. I mean, there's some Gentiles the Lord deals with and the Lord, quote unquote, saves in the Old Testament, but you can't argue that God has a special place in his heart for those Jews. But brother, here in the church age of grace, they don't respect the person of God. Jew, Gentile, doesn't matter. God deals with every man the same. Look at Colossians with me. Go to the right to Colossians and watch what it says. It's going to say it again. Colossians, I mean, here's a real letdown. We live in a day everybody thinks, you know, I'm special because I'm this or I'm better than somebody else. He's dealing with servants here in the text. Hired servants or bonded servants, ever how you want to look at it here in the text. But Colossians chapter 3, verse number 22, said, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. For ye serve the Lord Christ. Verse 25, but he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. Listen to me. I think we got this idea in our mind that, if I'm not called to preach, or if I don't sing, or if I don't that, you know, God's not going to reward me or use me. But that's not true. God, they don't respect the person of God. You serve God. You walk with God. You live by the Bible, and God will bless you like he will anybody else in the family of God. No big I's and little U's in this thing. Go to one more text here, James. Back to James again. Look at chapter 2. Boy, this is a real hardcore one here from James. James chapter 2 and verse 1. James chapter 2, verse 1. He said in verse 1 of James 2, my brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, this fella can't afford anything more than just, you know, just regular old dirty clothes. And the other guy, he comes in, hey, God bless him. Lord's blessed him. He ought to give glory to God for it, and he's got him a gold ring, goodly apparel on. The Bible's not putting that down. Here's what the Bible's putting down, verse 3. And ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, sit here under my footstool. Oh, this guy, I bet he's got some money. Let's smooze up to him, shake his hand, pat him on the back. God bless you. We're so glad you're here. And the guy that shows up looked like he ain't got two wooden nickels to rub together. Yeah, amen. Thank you for coming. I ain't got time to talk to you. That's wicked as the devil. I've watched that stuff go on in church before. You say that stuff don't go on in church? Sure it does, or they wouldn't have put it in James 2. Of course it does. Or the Lord would not have told James to write this to the brethren. Y'all, I ain't even got to the rest of it. He talks more about this. But let me just say this about there's no respect of persons. Y'all, if you're sitting here this morning and somebody comes in, you don't know their spiritual condition or where they're at. They may be lost as a billy goat. You say, well, they don't look right. They don't look like this. They don't look like that. They need Jesus. Amen. Shake their hand, hug their neck, tell them you're glad that they're here. I cannot tell you how many different times we've had people come to this church just in the years that I've been the pastor. And when I shook their hand and hugged their neck, knew where they'd been the night before and shook their hand, hugged their neck, Brother Bill, smelt liquor on their breath. You say, what'd you do? I hugged their neck and said, man, I'm so glad you're here. Make yourself a home. Yeah. Say, why? They need Jesus. God help us if we just start, you know, like, well, I'll be nice to them. I ain't going to be nice to them. I'll be nice to them. I ain't going to be nice to them. I'm not talking about somebody who's somebody who claims to be a Christian and they're trying to live in utter rebellion to the word and the things of God. I'm just talking about some regular old fella or girl comes, shows up. They need the Lord. Verse 4, are you not then partial in yourselves and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, heirs of the kingdom, which he hath promised to them that love him? But ye've despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by which you're called? If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbors thyself, ye do well. But if ye have, here it is again, respect to persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. So back to our text this morning. Peter is just getting across right off the bat that he realizes God puts no respect to persons between Jew or Gentile. The Lord will show mercy even on these Gentiles if they'll call on the Lord. Look at verse number 35. But in every nation, Acts 10:35. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. We dealt with that verse several weeks ago when we were looking at how God deals with the heathen, how God deals with lost individuals who don't even know who God is. If they'll walk in the light God's given them and do what's right, God will send them more light, like God does Cornelius. Cornelius walks in the light God gives him, and God finally sends him a preacher to tell him about Jesus. Verse 36, the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, verse 37, I say, you know, they've heard something. Now, according to what we're fixing to find, it looks like all they know is just the baptism of John, which those of you that are students of the Bible realize that's not sufficient. Baptism of John, brother, God bless him, and that's the light they had at that time. But we're going to come later on in the book of Acts, and Paul and them's going to come across some people that's all they knew, the baptism of John, and they didn't even have the Holy Ghost living inside of them. The baptism of John did not get the Holy Ghost living on the inside of anyone. Holy Ghost wasn't even given until Jesus Christ died, buried, and ascended up on high, led captivity captive, gave gifts to men. So that's all they know right now. These are people, they're not in the body of Christ yet. They've not been baptized by the Spirit into the body of Christ. All they've got is John's baptism and some Judaism. Anyways, we keep reading here. That word, verse 37, I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. So Peter says, you know about that. You heard John saying, there comes one after me whose shoes latchet, I'm not worthy to unloose. You heard John saying, he's coming. You heard that. But you got to go on beyond that. Verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Verse 39 is their commission again from Acts 1:8, and we are witnesses of all these things. which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly. Time out. He says in verse 39, we're witnesses. Jesus told them, he said, ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost parts of the earth. Y'all know what a witness is, right? It is someone that is summoned by the court to stand up and tell what they've seen or what they know. And they're called to tell the truth. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God? I do. Somebody sent me a video clip the other day. One of them old Western movies had several of them old Western characters that played in a lot of them John Wayne movies. I don't even know what movie it was, but it was a blessing to me. This old lady got on the stand in this like military tribunal, and this movie had to have been like the 50s. Probably something like that, and one of them Technicolor movies, you know, you just tell it's old, and the fellow walks up with a Bible, and he says, ma'am, swearing on this Bible, and she says, is that a King James Bible? He says, just swear on the Bible. She said, I never swear on anything but a King James Bible. He said, ma'am, just swear on the Bible. She said, I don't swear on anything but a King James Bible, and I thought, amen, granny, you got more sense than most people coming out of seminary. Oh, that was a blessing. That's a good movie right there. I don't even know what it was. But you know what a witness is. They put their hand on the Bible, whichever one it is. You raise your right hand or put your left. I don't know which. It's one way or the other. But you put your hand on the Bible, raise your hand, and say, you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God, I do. And you are a witness now. You're called to tell the truth of what you've seen or what you've heard. Do you know all that you are this morning? Is all that you don't... Say, I ain't been to school. I ain't been to this. You ain't got to be. You ain't got to be. You ain't got to. Here's what you are. This is all God called the disciples to be. Be a witness. What am I supposed to witness? Tell them what you know. Did God change your life? Did the Lord save you? Do you know for sure Jesus died, was buried, and rose again? Do you have assurance in your heart that you're saved and the Lord's made a change? Okay. Tell somebody. That's all you are. I'm just one beggar telling another beggar where I found bread. And so Peter says, we're just witnesses of these things. We're witnesses that they slew him, they hung him on a tree, and God raised him up. And anybody who put faith in that can have remission of sins. That's down in verse 43, but we've run out of time, and we'll get to that next week. We're about to see the victory that God gives. The Lord's about to save these old Gentiles. Y'all don't miss this, because this thing is wild in the book of Acts, how the transitions happen. But God's about to save these Gentiles and put the Holy Ghost in them without Peter laying his hands on them, without getting baptized. I mean, God's fixing to save them based on what? Believing what Peter said. That's how you got saved. You got saved not because some preacher laid his hands on you and talked in another tongue over you. You got saved not because you got dunked in a baptismal pool. You got saved because a preacher told you Jesus died, was hung on a tree, rose again the third day, and if you'll put your faith and trust in that, the Lord will save you. And you believe that, and God moved in. And that's what we're fixing to see here, seeing the victory God gave. All right, let's pray. Father, I pray this morning that you'd make all of us witnesses unto you. Lord, everywhere we go, Father, I pray, Lord, that whatever faults and failures and Lord, just plain old dropping the ball that we've all done in our past, help us to forget those things which are behind, reach forth unto those things which are before, press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Can't go back and fix everything back there, but we can walk forward and try and serve God to the best of our abilities. God, help us to do just that, and we'll give you the glory. Lord, move in the 11 o'clock hour. I need your help to preach. These people need your help to hear. God, help us now, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.